All right, good morning. He's alive, amen. All the songs today, actually, if you want to open your Bibles this morning to, I'm going to preach out of Isaiah chapter number 12, but just for the sake of context, we're going to glance over chapter 11. And those chapters actually have to do with the coming of the Lord, the millennial kingdom that Jesus is going to set up, amen. And tell you what, I look forward to that day, amen. I mean, I don't have a death wish. I hope I stay healthy and live a long life. But you know what? If Jesus came, that wouldn't hurt my feelings at all, amen. I mean, this world is a mess, and we're going to just look at some of the things. This is obviously a future event, amen, that's going to take place when Christ comes back. We'll have went on to be with the Lord, whether we passed on and crossed over, whether the rapture happened, that seven-year tribulation will have taken place. We'll have been with Christ. We'll have went to the judgment seat of Christ, amen. That's not the great white throne judgment. It's not a judgment for whether you're saved or lost. That's the judgment seat of Christ, where we get our rewards and things like that for our service to God, our faithfulness to God. And so we'll be with him. That judgment seat of Christ will take place. Then we'll get our horse, amen. We get a horse. And when Christ comes back to set up that thousand-year reign, amen. Imagine the Jesus administration, amen. That's the one I'm looking forward to. I can't stand this stuff that goes on now with all these politics and regimes and you name it, amen. They're all corrupt. And Jesus is going to come back and rule and reign in righteousness, amen. And we're going to rule and reign with him as kings and priests. And we got some exciting stuff that's in store for us as believers, amen. And so, anyways, see if I can find this. Normally I make an outline. I like to follow just because I lose my place sometimes, amen. But this one, I more or less just have a few things jotted down. And again, so this is Kingdom of Heaven doctrine. Pastor had taught us a few weeks ago how the Kingdom of Heaven is a literal physical kingdom on earth, amen. That's why he told the apostles to pray, thy kingdom come, amen, that will be done on earth. And so that's going to take place in the future, and that's where Christ is going to rule and reign. That's the second advent, amen. The first time Jesus came, he suffered, he died for our sins, amen. And the second time he comes back to rule, to reign, to judge, take vengeance on his enemies, and then we go into that thousand-year millennial reign. Clarence Larkin, one of the older preachers, used to refer to it as the thousand-year honeymoon, amen, where us, the bride of Christ, comes back, amen, to rule and reign with Christ. And so, again, this is a future event. This gives us something to look forward to. And then we're going to look in chapter number, when we get to chapter number 12, and that's after Christ had defeated his enemies, calls back the remnant of Israel, the Gentile nations are going to look to him. And in chapter number 12, there's like a great worship service, a revival service of some sort that takes place. And a lot of the commentators compare it to Exodus chapter 15, verse number 1, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and chapter 15 and verse 1, they began to praise God and sing a song and glorify God. And this same type of thing is going to happen, amen, when the remnant of Israel comes back, when Christ comes back to rule and reign, amen, for that thousand-year kingdom. And so and just for the sake of context, in chapter number 11, verse number 1, it speaks about Christ's ancestry, amen, his lineage. He comes out of the house of David, amen, and we can see that in the New Testament, the genealogies, amen. Luke chapter 3, we have Adam to Jesus, and Matthew chapter 1, we see from David to Jesus. And so this verse here, chapter number 1, it says, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse," that was David's dad, amen, King David's dad, "and a branch," that's capitalized, "shall grow out of his root," amen. And Zechariah 6:12 tells us that the branch is going to rebuild the temple, amen, and that's where he's going to rule and reign from. And so we see his ancestry. In verse number 2, we see his anointing, amen. It says in verse number 2, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord," amen. And so Lord Jesus Christ, we know in the Bible, when he began to preach, he actually quoted from Isaiah chapter 61 and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to preach," amen, "the glad tidings and the brokenhearted, the prisoners," etc., amen. And so Lord Jesus Christ, just like he was qualified in every way to be the Savior, to be the sin offering, to his sinlessness, his blamelessness, his perfectness, amen, his impeccability, all those things that allowed him to fit the requirements that God had for a sacrifice, amen. Jesus met those qualifications, and Jesus, because of this anointing and the Spirit of God, and those are the seven spirits of God right there, amen, that all rest upon him, amen, and qualified him and enabled him. And the Bible tells us, I believe in Colossians 1:19, that he had the Spirit without measure, amen. I mean, he was full from top to bottom, amen. I mean, we get to sing songs like "Fill My Cup," and we want to be filled more and be more like Jesus, amen, and we should do those things. But the Lord Jesus Christ just had an anointing upon him like no other, amen, to qualify him for this plan that God had. So we see his ancestry, his anointing. Then in verse number 3-5 talks about his administration that he'll set up, things like that. In verse number 6-16, we see that those verses, how it talks about the wolf dwelling with the lamb and the calf and the lion. And so we know during this thousand-year reign that the nature of the animal world is going to change, amen. Rather than that natural nature, that lion would have to rip apart that lamb and devour him. They're not going to have that. They're going to eat straw together. And so this thousand-year kingdom is blessed, amen. It's blessed in a lot of ways that the world we live in now, there's going to be a type of tranquility and peacefulness that comes upon men, and there'll be no more wars, things like that. And so this kingdom that the Lord is going to set up, this millennial kingdom, amen, it is going to be a blessing for those of us that have eternal life, amen. We've got a big part in this kingdom because there's no one like us that has that's born again. And when we die, we put on immortality. The people that survive the tribulation period, you don't have to eat from the tree of life. You have eternal life, amen. I don't have to, during the millennial reign, in eternity, eat from the tree of life. I have eternal life now, amen. Same thing with you. And so when we go into this kingdom to rule and reign with Christ, we already have a new nature, but the people that survived the tribulation period, the remnant of Israel that brought back in, those people have their natural nature, amen, and they're not going to have faith in Jesus the way we did, because he's going to be right there, amen. They're going to see him. They don't have to have that. That's why Jesus said, blessed is he that believes and has never seen me, amen. And that's us, amen. And so we have a special blessing. I believe this is a greatest dispensation that you can live in, amen, as far as all that goes, amen. We don't have to be overcomers. Because we're already overcomers, it tells us in 1 John chapter 4, amen. So as far as that goes, but the animal kingdom, even it's funny because you watch the news now and all you ever see is climate change, amen. Well, there'll be climate change, amen. It's going to be a perfect climate. The vegetable kingdom is going to be more productive and things during this time because Christ is here, amen, and the curse is lifted. The devil's bound up for 1,000 years, amen, so that'll be a blessing that he's not around, amen. And so because of the knowledge of the Lord, amen, it's going to be, if you look at verse number 9, amen, it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, amen, as the waters cover the sea. And so everybody's going to know. Everybody's going to know who the king is, amen. Everybody's going to know it's Jesus. Everybody's going to know he's ruling. Everybody's going to know the laws and the rules and things, so to speak. It's going to be a different setup at that time, amen, that is way better than what we got now with the death and the violence and the sickness. And it says somewhere in the Bible, if somebody dies when they're 100 years old, they would be like a child dying, amen. If somebody lives to be 100 now, I mean, we praise them. We're like, man, God bless you. Amen. You lived 100 years. Somebody dies during this kingdom, 100 years old. Everybody's going to be like, man, he was just a kid. He's only 100. You know, it's just, it's different. Amen. It's crazy. Amen. And these are things we get to look forward to. So the nations are going to rally to him. That's going to enlarge his government. Amen. That's in verse 10, verse 11, 12, all the feuds between the Jews, Israel, Judah, all that is going to be over, amen. They come together, and then the Lord, amen, sets up that kingdom. Over in verse number 15 to 16, tells us how the Lord's going to, in verse 16 it says, and there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people. And then he tells us where that's going to be, amen, that highway. And the remnant of Israel that realizes, man, we killed the Messiah, but now he's here, that returns back to God. The Gentile nations that are going to turn to him, amen. And we go into the 1,000-year kingdom, amen. And I like all the some of the songs we sing, like walking down the King's Highway and things like that. This is literal stuff. This isn't a fairy tale. Amen. This is literal stuff that's going to take place in the future. And if you ask me, it doesn't seem like it's in the distant future. I mean, as wild as things could be. I mean, I'm not a date setter. I don't have any idea. But boy, the signs of the times, it just seems we're definitely closer than we were yesterday anyways, right? Amen. Walking down the King's Highway, amen, these things, it's a literal thing that's going to take place, amen, and every one of us that's saved is going to have a part in it, amen. And then chapter 16 ends, it says, that day he came up out of the land of Egypt, amen. And again, then we're going to go into chapter 12, and this is, again, comparable to Exodus 15. He sets up his kingdom on earth, amen. We come with him. We have eternal life now, amen. And all these things that take place in chapter number 12 is something that we can do now. And I feel like if this is something that I'm going to recite on that day, I might as well memorize it now, amen. And then I know. And so we'll read chapter 12. It's only six verses. Take us just a minute. It says in chapter number 12, it says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Verse number 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Amen. Literally, dwelling in the midst of thee. Amen. Jesus Christ on earth, the Lord, Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Amen. He is God. It's going to be a great day. Amen. And so some of the points that I wanted to make. And of course, the first point is this is a future event. This is Kingdom of Heaven doctrine. This is going to take place. But some of the practical application that we can make as Christians, amen, is why wait, amen, to do some of these things? We already have eternal life. We're already going to be with the Lord, amen. We have eternal security. We already know Jesus. We've been renewed and regenerated by the Holy Ghost, and he lives in us. And so we don't necessarily have to wait for that day to praise the Lord, amen, and to show thanksgiving. It says, chapter number 12, verse number 1, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee." It says, "Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Amen. And so thank God for the day I got saved. Amen. The day that I became a child of God instead of a child of the devil. The day that I became a joint heir with Christ, amen. The day that I got on good terms with God, amen. Because like it says there, it says, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, amen. And I know as a lost man, I always believed in God. I believed that I would have to answer to him someday, and just being a foolish and unregenerated person that I was, it didn't bother me to know that I made God mad. In fact, if I knew there was something I could do that he didn't like, I would do it, amen. That's the type of foolishness that I had, amen. And I went about my life 25 years, amen, knowing that God was angry with me, knowing that, not knowing that he loved me and that he died for me, amen, but knowing that the way I was and the things I did and just what I was, amen, a sinner, was something that deserved to be punished someday. And so what a comfort, amen, when that day comes when you realize that you're not God's enemy anymore, amen. It talks about that in Romans chapter 5, when we were his enemies, amen. We might not think we were his enemies, but when you're lost, a lost soul, a lost sinner is at enmity with God, amen. It just is. He's a holy God, a just God, a righteous God. And until that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses you and forgives you and you get put into that family of God, amen, and God comes to live in you, you're condemned already. Isn't that what the Bible says? And so that lost person, that person that's never trusted Christ, lives their life in a state of condemnation, amen. But there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, amen. Thank God for that. And so, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me, amen. And what a blessing to know that God is your Father, amen, that God is your King, that God is your Lord, he's your Savior, amen. The comfort of knowing that you're on good terms with him. I mean, that's a good reason to praise God, amen. Knowing that he comforts you, amen. You get that peace of God. You get the positional peace that it talks about in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, by faith, amen. What does that verse go? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And so that's that positional peace, amen. There's no more war between me and God, amen. We're at peace, amen. He's at peace with me because he sees his son. He sees the blood of his son. And my faith in him, amen, allows me to be reconciled unto God, amen. So the comfort that comes from positional peace, amen. And then you also have personal peace. I mean, we go through some wild things down here in this earth, some horrible things, some dreadful things. You know, I've referred to this earth as a flying graveyard, amen. It's just, and we can have good times, enjoy ourselves, and we have a mission, amen, to reach others from God and the ministry. At the end of the day, we go through some things, amen. There's people missing today that are sick, the people that are, my dad, you all know, just a little over a month ago, as healthy as could be, and boom, a week later, gone, you know. And so we have sadness and things that we go through in this world, amen. But somehow God gives us that peace that passes all understanding, amen. That's why you don't have to run to a bottle of pills or a bottle of liquor to cope with your lot in life, amen. We can go to the Lord. We can go to the closet, amen. You go to that prayer closet and you have a close relationship with God. So though he was angry, amen, now he comforts us, amen. And we have that positional peace that is secure with him, and we have personal peace. Amen. He helps us through the nasty now and now. Amen. When we have to deal with that. And so he says, though thou wast anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Amen. And then he goes on and says, behold, amen. I love that word, behold. The literal definition is fix your eyes and mind on this. Amen. Behold. That would be like nowadays we would go, hey, you know, they said, behold, and people would look, amen, and say, what's going on, amen. And they say, behold, God is my salvation, amen. And I love this, for the Lord Jehovah, Lord is all caps, amen, L-O-R-D. It says for the Lord, it's like it says for Jehovah is my strength in my song, amen. And so we can praise him for the comfort that he gives us by being at peace with him through Lord Jesus Christ. We can praise him for the courage that he gives us as Christians. And sometimes you need courage. How's this? I've been doing this for 30 years, preaching whenever I'm needed. I passed it for a while. I've done it a lot. And you know, every time I'm petrified. I feel like I'm going to die before my wife. I drive her nuts because I was sitting there this morning and I was like, I might be having a stroke. I said, I got this tingling in the side of my face. And it's like, I probably just slept on my arm the wrong way, you know. And I'll sit in the pew and I'll be like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. And she'll be like, you'll be fine. But he's become my strength, amen. And so I try to quote them verses to myself. My human sin nature wants me to be scared, but so we need strength to serve God sometimes. And any of the guys or women that have done street work and things like that, you never know what type of situation you're going to be confronted with, and you need, me and Pastor met back in the late 80s and early 90s, preaching on Saturday nights in Harvard Square. You want to talk about a wild place. I heard a preacher refer to it one time as Sodom and Gomorrah with electricity, amen. That's how Harvard Square was. I mean, one minute you'd be sitting there witnessing and talking to some educated person from the Harvard University, and the next minute you turn around and there's punk rockers and they're screaming at you, and one of them's got a snake around their neck and the other one's got a rat, and then they're standing there yelling at you, singing Kumbaya, trying to mock you. And I mean, you get into some wild situations. Homosexuals start screaming at you. It was funny. And it shows you how the Lord gives you, this just popped into my mind, but we had this guy, Pastor knows him, Bill Munsell, and he was preaching, and this, and everybody would gather around you, and you would, I mean, you couldn't go anywhere. I mean, you'd have 50, 100 people all in a circle around you while you're preaching, and they're yelling, and I mean, you're trying to, like, God told Jeremiah, don't look at their faces, you know, and, this one guy kept yelling at my friend, at our friend Bill, and he kept going, and he had a dress on. Like, I think he was one of them Grateful Dead people, like a hippie. Like, he had one of those, like, things the women wear wrapped around when they're at the beach. Anybody, what's that called? A saffron or something? Sarong, yeah. Wrapped around them. And so Bill's preaching, and so I was standing in the front of the crowd, and the guy's yelling, that Bible's full of mistakes, and Bill's trying to, so everybody starts looking at instigators, you know, and he's going, that Bible's full of mistakes, and he's, you know, stepping, that Bible's got a bunch of mistakes in it, we don't want to hear that, that Bible got mistakes in it. And so all of a sudden I just went, yeah, show them. Show them. And a bunch of people started going, yeah, show them. And then Bill caught on, the guy preaching, and went to hand the guy his Bible, and he went like that, walked away. Because he couldn't show any mistakes, amen? He was just saying, and so, but when, you know, you need courage, amen, sometimes. And so, behold, God is my salvation, amen? I will trust, not be afraid. Thank God we don't have to be afraid when our time comes to cross over to die, and we don't have to be afraid to serve him, amen. He helps us, he strengthens us, and gives us what we need, amen, to do what he wants us to do. And so, I will trust and not be afraid for the Lord Jehovah, amen. We're the real Jehovah Witnesses, amen, and is my strength, amen. And we get our strength from him in my song, amen. And he gives you that new song in your heart, amen. And we can praise him, we can sing to him. I love waking up in the morning with a hymn or something going through my mind, amen, an earworm, whatever they call that nowadays. And I love waking up in heaven. I hate it if I go to a grocery store and the music's playing and you're not really listening to it. Then all of a sudden you wake up in the morning, you know, and you hear Honky Tonk Woman or something, Mick Jagger, and you're like, where'd this come from? You're like, you know, and so you pray and you start humming a hymn or something, you know, to change the station, whatever you want to call it, amen. But he gives us a song in our heart, amen. And I love singing the songs about heaven. I love singing the songs about Christ coming. We sing a lot of songs about this subject, about him coming, amen, and setting up his kingdom. But we need to remember that it's actual, amen, it's real, and it is going to happen, amen. Like that song, blow the trumpet in Zion, Christ is on the mountain, amen. It makes your spirit want to jump out of your skin, amen, because you start getting that filling, amen, your cup being filled and overflowing, amen. And so we can praise him now, amen, as born-again believers for the comfort, for the courage, for forgiveness, for strength and deliverance. Then it goes on and it says in verse number 3, we didn't set the clock back. That's all right. Got 6 minutes. 6 minutes and 3 more verses. But I'm just joking. But therefore, verse number 3, amen. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. And we've already been to that fountain. Amen. We've already been drawn that water from the wells of salvation. We can praise God now, amen. We don't have to wait until, like these people, for the day they're delivered, amen. We're already delivered, and so we can praise him, amen. And many times in the Bible, the water is a reference to the Holy Ghost, amen. Remember Jesus, that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and he will have rivers of living water flowing out of the belly. And then the Bible interprets itself and says, this he spake concerning the Holy Ghost that's to come, amen. And so we got the rivers of living water, amen. And what a joy it is to know that you're saved, amen. And so my point is, we don't have to wait, amen. We can praise God now. The Bible then goes on, verse 3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Verse number 4, it says, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, amen. And I love praising the Lord. I try to, Pastor mentioned it when he was doing the lesson on the Our Father, or whatever you want to call it, that the prayer begins with praise, amen, and ends with praise. And so I love starting my day off in the morning. I ask him, forgive me for my sins and cleanse me. And then come the Bible. Peter says that we're priests, amen, and we offer spiritual sacrifices. And so I have a list of these spiritual sacrifices, and you offer him the sacrifice of praise, amen. You praise him for his mercy. You praise him for his love. You praise him for his goodness, and not ask him for anything, but offer him praise, amen, and thanksgiving. The Bible says to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart and enter his courts with praise. And so you go into that throne room acknowledging that he's God, that he's on the throne, amen, that he's high and lifted up, like the song we sang, he's alive, amen. And so we acknowledge that, we come into his presence and we praise him, amen. And like the Bible says, he inhabits the praises of his people. The Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his good works to the children of men. And you can praise God for his goodness to you and to your family, and of things going on in your life, and just begin your day just offering him that sacrifice of praise, amen. You can offer him the sacrifice of righteousness, thanking and praising him for his righteousness, thanking and praising him for the righteousness of Jesus, and thanking and praising him for that imputed righteousness, amen. Because without that, we'd be in trouble. And so we drank from the wells of salvation, amen. We got that Holy Ghost in us. We got the comfort when we need it. We got peace, amen. And so there's no reason in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, amen. Call upon his name. That's prayer, isn't it? Call upon his name. It's so important. If you have a cold prayer closet, a lot of times the going gets rough, amen. The going can get rough. So when you keep that fire going in that prayer closet, amen, and you call upon his name, and he's interested in every little detail of your life, every little thing that pertains to you, amen. The hairs on our head are counted, things like that. I mean, not a sparrow falls from the sky without him knowing, amen. How much more valuable are ye, amen, as the Bible says. And so call upon his name and develop that close relationship with him, amen. Because you're going to ride with him someday, amen. Yeah, I sold my motorcycle 5 years ago, but, you know, we used to always say, oh, I'm going to ride with the guys, you know, and I'm going to go on the run. We're going to ride, amen. We're going to get a heavenly horse, and we're going to ride with Jesus down to this this event right here, amen. And it's just going to start, and it's going to last 1,000 years, amen. Again, this is no fairy tale. This is tomorrow's newspaper. I always say the Bible, tomorrow's newspaper, amen. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, just praise him, amen. Call upon his name, then declare his doings among the people. And those are the people that we witness to, amen. If you're full of the Spirit, you're full of prayer, you're full of praise, amen. Now you're enabled and equipped to be able to tell his doings to the people, amen. Tell his doings to people. When you work with people, they're going through something, you tell them, you know what, I'll pray for you. You know what, if you want to come to church, there's a seat right next to me that's just for you. You know, whatever, when we declare his doings. You know what helped me when I went through that? I did this. And God gives you wisdom and how to deal with each person you're dealing with, amen. But you just got to be mindful of it and look for those opportunities, amen. And again, by being filled with the Spirit and being filled with praise and joy and thankfulness and thinking right, amen. The Baptists used to have a thing, they used to call it stinking thinking, amen. And when you start thinking stinky about everything, amen, then everything stinks. And so, it doesn't mean you have to like something that's not good that is happening, but you keep that positive outlook, amen, because you know you got God on your side, you got people of God with you, and you can get through that, amen. And so praise the Lord in that day, call upon his name, keep the prayer going, declare among the people, amen. Make mention that his name is holy. Sometimes you just can mention something, amen. You don't have to preach a sermon to everybody where as soon as they see it, they're like, oh no, here comes, what's his name? Is he going to corner me and preach my head off and I got to get back to work? You know, sometimes you make mention, amen, that his name is exalted. There's a time and a place to beat people up, and there's a time and a place where you got to have wisdom, amen, and a little seed and a little thing and make mention, amen. Just mention Jesus, amen. That's one. I work with construction workers all the time. Roger, you know, you're around construction workers. Some of them guys, some of the most foul-mouthed, nastiest. I mean, some of them guys that swear so bad the devil blush, you know. But over the years, you mention something, you know, and you mention this, and all of a sudden something happens. And in the past, we've had guys I work with that came to church and had people come up to us and ask us if we'd pray for them. I've had people swear or something and go, oh, man, I'm sorry, because they had heard I was religious, you know, as they would say, religious, you know. And so sometimes you just got to make mention, amen. When we make mention of everything else, hey, did I mention we're having a cookout? You know, hey, did I mention we're doing this? Sometimes you mention his name is exalted, amen. And at the name of Jesus, what's going to happen, amen? Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Pastor Randall, he was my pastor in South Carolina. He's the one that trained me and ordained me and stuff. And he was a sheetrock guy. Him and his wife hung sheetrock. And they got saved. He was going to Bible college. The guy, Irvin Bradford, that was his partner with the drywall, was lost. And he was a cuss. And he didn't like Pastor Randall witnessing to him and preaching to him all the time. And so he told Pastor Randall, he's like, I don't want to hear it every day. I'm not going to work with you if you're just going to sit and go on. So Pastor Randall said he would go in the morning and he'd say, Irvin, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to bust hell wide open. And then he never would say nothing for the rest of the day. And he would say that to him every day for a period of time. And all of a sudden, one day he started asking questions. And to make a long story short, he got saved and became a missionary. Him, his wife, all his kids, they were down in Mexico. And he was a poor missionary. He didn't have a lot of support and a lot of money. And I mean, it'd be, I don't know who's got that trailer in the back, but they'd have something like that with eight of them living in it, you know, and just sold out to God, amen. And this was a guy that he'd rather cut your throat than hear about Jesus, you know. But just making mention sometimes. Just mention, I'll pray for you. I know God can help you. That's whether they believe God can help them or not, don't matter. You know he can, amen. Well, I'll pray for you. I know God will. God can help you. And you'd be surprised how that little seed, amen, that God can work with. And so we'll read verse 5 and 6, but I'm going to wrap it up. Verse 5, sing unto the Lord. We already commented about that. Amen. Sing to him. If you're driving in the car by yourself, just sing. Amen. Say, Lord, I'm going to sing to you. Sometimes I say, Lord, I'm going to read to you. And I just read it out loud. I know he knows it. I know he wrote it. But it just makes your relationship with God more personal. Amen. It's not going to hurt anything, right? and sing unto the Lord, amen, for he hath done excellent things, amen, and he's done some excellent things for us. This is known in all the earth, and that day is going to come, amen, that it will be known, the knowledge of the Lord. Cry out and shout, amen, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee, amen, literally dwelling with us, amen. What a blessing. We have so much to look forward to, and I'm thankful. And the only thing, if you're saved today, praise God and be positive and find a verse to help you if you're going through something. Ask God to give you a verse and pray, amen, and serve him, because it will be worth it all as we sing, amen, sometimes when we see Jesus. That if you never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to trust him as your Lord and Savior. Because the day's going to come, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And I would rather do it willingly, amen, believing already that he's the Lord and Savior. You know the thing between lost people and saved people? It don't matter where you go, you're going to believe. Why believe once you're in hell and it's too late, amen? When you heard the message, you heard have the opportunity to trust him now, amen. Why wait till you get there when it's too late and then be a believer? Because everybody's going to believe at the end of the day, amen.